Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, our number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Continue with your calls, of course, as you're part of the conversation. So, Bart, we're 2 weeks away now from the NFL draft.
I know, man.
The coverage continues to heat up. Mel Kiper had his mock yesterday. He was on with DNR this morning and talking Jets and Giants and, you know, a lot of the stuff that you know, he is suggesting for both teams. But the Bo Nix thing, he's all over that for the Giants as a second round. Feels like if they can move up. And he also is holding out. He was telling the boys that he was trying to put together, because they were asking him, obviously, about the Bowers kid, the tight end, mm-hmm. who's, I believe, he's having his pro day either today or tomorrow.
Yeah, because he was injured.
Yeah. So he was, you know, he keeps having him, the Jets take him at 10. And they're like, you know, why is it that pick? And he said, well, number one, it's too high to take a tackle just to make him a backup. And he said, I'm trying to find a trade out, that's the most logical thing to do at 10. And his whole thinking is that the Philadelphia Eagles would be a perfect candidate to trade up. Now, again, you know the relationship between, obviously, Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas. They just made a beautiful trade.
They got Dallas Goedert.
Not for the tight end, for a defensive player, because there's going to be a lot of edge rushers available because no one's going in the top 10, right? No one's taking defense in the top 10. I think only one team is expected to take defense in the top 10. So he's thinking the Jets could get some capital, including a second-round pick, which they don't have right now, and the Eagles can get a defensive player to help them continue to, you know, build back up their defense.
Damn, how many people they need? They got Bryce Huff, Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, and Jordan Davis.
Like the idea of the Jets trading back?
How far?
Well, where do the Eagles pick?
They won 10 games. I'm pretty sure that's like near the 20s.
Okay. Well, I don't have time.
I ain't
to
going back
it.
That
I'm
far.
I'm just telling you what he said. And it sounded logical to me, because for the Jets, you can get some draft capital, which is obviously just as important as at the 10 pick, I can get something at 22, just like I can get at 10, right? So why not get some draft capital with it? That's all he's suggesting. Anything like Fuago or somebody like that could still be there where you're picking later on in the first. So it was a really interesting conversation that the guys had with him this morning off of his mock, and they were all over him about it. But the Bo Nix conversation, if you're a Giants fan, like, that's a real, real thing. He said, the word is the Giants are going to be in the market for a quarterback in this draft. And so he was finding ways, all right, well, he thinks, and because you keep saying Michael Penix, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Mel's whole thing about Penix is that you already have Daniel Jones who's injured. So why are you going to go with a guy with an injury history in Penix? Bo Nix is the same age. He's strong. He can run. He's got good legs. So it's like that one makes more sense. Here's Kiper talking about the Giants and the quarterback situation with the guys this morning. All right, and the page blew up on me again. So, Jake, can you play that for me? The Kiper with the Giants on trading up to take Bo Nix.
I heard people say, I don't know how Drew Brees is going to make it in the NFL at 6'5" with a mediocre arm. I'm not saying it's going to be Brees because I hate comps, but bottom line is, you know, Bo is a kid who, I have him at 35 on the board. So to trade up for a guy who got 35, you go to 33, but what do you keep hearing? What's the word? That the Giants are going to look at a quarterback? Well, if you're going to look at a quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. has had injuries. Are you going to go that route with Daniel Jones being bothered by injuries, or are you going to take Bo Nix, who's sturdy, 24 years of age, great processor? I don't know what they're going to do, but you know, somebody's going to be aggressive and go up and get Penix and Nix if they slide into the second round. There's the debate even whether they should be first rounders.
What do you think?
24 years old. Yeesh.
What?
That's old. This dude old as hell.
So is Penix.
The same Penix age. 24 too?
They're the same age, yeah.
This is crazy, man.
Penix been in college for 5 years.
These COVID cats is ridiculous.
Right, yes. They both have stuck. Actually, I think Penix –
This dude.
Did
he
get
30.
Two? Right? Did he get two redshirt years? I believe. I think Penix's been in college for like 5 or 6 years.
These dudes would be 30 after yo damn near at their first contract.
That's not my problem. Who cares? I don't understand why bringing a quarterback in at 21 or 22 makes that much of a difference.
Because you're hoping if he's
Penix played 6 years. I thought
years.
So because he got a year back, and then I believe he got a COVID year.
Man, he should have won the Heisman. How the hell you don't win the Heisman? You like you going against people that's 19 years old, man.
Yeah, but
I always hate that, man.
You like, never knew 17. That, so you were talking about Penix all this time, and you had no idea they were the same age.
No, I thought he was like maybe 22, 24. No. Man, yeah. You're grown ass out of here,
right,
man.
So you don't want the Giants then drafting either one of these guys then.
Not like Penix. I still like Penix because he's a better quarterback.
All right. Well, here's Mel on the Jets, and I was telling you about the whole idea of the Jets trading out of 10, and he said, I would have put it into the mock draft because he does mock trades as well, but he said he just couldn't figure out how to make it work.
Tried to put a trade together there, but I didn't really feel comfortable with who I'd have a team trading up and giving up picks to get. That was my issue. I could see Quinion Mitchell or Terrion Arnold being a guy maybe the Eagles would trade up to get, so I could see going 10 to 22 and then getting a couple second-round picks because the Jets don't have a 2, right? So you could, if you want to move way down to 22 and say, okay, I could still get a Tali Fuaga maybe from Oregon State. I could still get a pretty good lineman at that point. Amarius Mims, a really good, potentially an outstanding offensive tackle league, but he's played only 8 games, and he's coming off an injury, but he's got a ton of talent. So you could get a guy like that. There's a way they could work it where it go from 10 to 22, and the Eagles have a couple second-round picks, guys. I would say right now I would be surprised if the Jets stayed at 10. I think moving down is their best option. I just couldn't find a dance partner.
Yeah, and so Quinion Mitchell is a cornerback from Toledo that he's very high on, right? And so, you know, that's somebody that – you can expect
43, 40. He a beast.
Yeah.
Are you saying
Terrion Arnold is from Alabama? So there's a couple of corners that the Eagles might want to target at number 10, and it's just a matter of putting it together and making it work. A trade, he just couldn't do it. But the Eagles are picking at 22. And
I might need more than 22, man. You want me to?
Well, you're not getting just the 22. You're gonna get.
I need that in the fourth.
Well, yeah, of course you're gonna get other picks. You don't just swap.
No. I said I need a second round and a fourth.
Well, you got to go with whatever the chart tells you what the value is.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of just making it work. But you hear Mel talking about it, and so
I'm hoping
said he'd be surprised if the Jets stay at 10.
I'm hoping that somebody come in at 16 as the Jets just signed Austin Davis back.
Yep.
And they just scheduled a visit with Jordan Travis, the guy I've been telling you guys about.
Yes.
From Florida State,
yep.
ACC player of the year, who got hurt. He fractured his fibula right before the playoffs came, but he should be back for training camp. So, like, that's what I've been trying to say that they should do anyway. He mm-hmm. can be a guy that could be an understudy, to be the eventual maybe. Because if he was up, he mm-hmm. would be right there with Bo Nix and Penix as the fifth mm-hmm. guy, maybe potentially off. Because remember, Florida State had an undefeated season.
Yeah, no, that was obviously the.
But he's
the
a smaller guy though.
Biggest controversy.
Just so you know, he's not a big guy though.
No, and he's also going to be 24 years old when the season starts.
Yeah, but like you said,
so
like,
wait. You thought old as hell, and you didn't want anything to do with Bo Nix and Michael Penix, but the same thing.
But you're getting him in the fourth round. He's not going to be a top two. He's not going to be a second-round pick.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
So that's different. Of course, I'll take a risk at fourth.
Absolutely.
Like, third-round, fourth-round pick, I'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what he's – like, he showed you something in college. He's older, so you're not getting a young guy that might be over his head. And I think –
played a lot of football.
If you're moving – like, they still haven't moved on from Zach Wilson yet, which I can't believe.
They'll outright cut him, especially if they draft Jordan Travis – it ain't no space. You ain't carrying four quarterbacks.
Yeah. So if you were able to find a way to get Jordan Travis like later on in the draft, then you bring him into the room and now look at you got him with Aaron Rodgers. That's not bad. You're not expecting him to play, and you just see what you can do with him over the next 2 years, and if he can turn into something, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he probably would have been a second round draft pick if he wasn't hurt. I mean, you talk about playing high end football. That's ACC football. That's high level stuff, and you talk about undefeated,
right? So the Jets, yeah, he'll have a visit with the Jets this weekend, and yes, the Jets did re-sign their safety Ashton Davis.
Yeah, and he played well for them. He played that like Kyle Hamilton kind of linebacker / cover mm-hmm. man. He was like that jack of all trades type of thing where they used him as like a chess piece. Finally, he was supposed so he'll compete for a starting. That gives him tremendous depth. Because you remember they lost Whitehead, so they get tremendous depth at the position.
All right, that obviously is important, but most important is Aaron Rodgers and him actually playing this regular season, being upright, more importantly, being healthy, which he is now, as he's recovered from Achilles injury that just completely detonated the season four plays in. So Rodgers, though, talked recently. It's the first time we've heard from him in a while. The I Can Fly podcast that he was on. And he talked about a number of things that have been following him around. But, you know, he did talk about the injury and the concern about his career.
I was heartbroken on September 11th in the locker room thinking my career might be over. And that's how I'm going to go out. After all the beauty in the summer and Hard Knocks and a new team and just being in New Jersey and the excitement, talking with our amazing fan base and just feeling just the energy and the momentum building, and then that. I look back now and so much changed in my life for the better. And I often have a hard time with people who say, everything happens for a reason. Just got to trust it. Sometimes I call bullshit on that. Part of it is the ego wanting things to just be a little bit easier sometimes.
You always say, Bart, that you got to feel pain first, right? Yeah. That it makes you appreciate success. You know, you got to lose that whole line. You got to lose to learn how to win and all that.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has done enough winning in his career. He's won MVPs.
But he's
won
done so much losing. He's had so much heartbreak since.
But when he came to the Jets, it almost was like too easy. Stepped in. It was just he was the prince of the city. Everybody loved it. He even described it the same way I was describing it. It was like the honeymoon was incredible, right? Yeah. The month of August was nauseating to everybody else, but for a Jets fan, it was Camelot.
Euphoria.
It was Camelot. So he even said, like, then that injury happens and it crushed him, and it led him, you know, to start questioning and wondering and all that stuff. But maybe it also allowed him to, you know, it put that little extra drive, little extra special thing into this season. But the whole idea of getting hurt. It's very difficult even for him to get over.
Did a darkness retreat. I came out of the darkness, and basically my time in Green Bay was up. I did ayahuasca, and then a week later I got traded to the Jets. And I have this incredible off-season experience in a new city, in a new town, with new teammates, a new organization, an owner for the first time, and really falling back in love with a game that I first fell in love with when I was 5 years old. And it was absolutely beautiful and special and deep and rich and yummy and just... incredible. And then one of the most heartbreaking nights of my life when I played four plays. Talk about an ego death. That's what it was.
Ego death. What a phrase. Remember Garrett Wilson sharing with us?
Yeah.
Halftime he goes in, he says, I'm sorry, kid.
Sorry, kid.
I mean, clearly he was at a...
You got to play with the other guy. I'm so sorry.
Sorry, that guy's got to throw to you. Somehow you got to 1,000 yards, though.
Beavis.
But what do you take from what Roger just said there? Does he sound like somebody that, like, you could tell that really did crush him?
I mean, it was a lonely road. I think he really needed the fact that he was going to try and do something that had never been done before to be able to even push to come back. Because I think I would say probably if he would have got hurt, say, like, in the 1st of October, he may have just retired. Like, you know what I mean? He might have just said, you know what, because the rehab and the hope of coming back this season, he wouldn't have pushed as hard. You know, but now the fact that, you know, he could have played last year, he should be ready to go this year. I just wonder how much are they going to play some of these guys in the preseason, because I feel like they still need to get that. I can't go for another Aaron's not going to play in the preseason game. I think they have to figure out a way to do that. You know, just to kind of get him hit for the first time.
Good point.
I don't want him getting hit for the first time.
In a real game and not
really having belief in it. He needs to see what it feels like to get hit and trust it.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. You almost need that preseason game.
You almost say, hey, man, let somebody through. I'm just going to let him hit me. I'm going to go down soft.
He also believes, this is again, more Aaron Rodgers from the I Can Fly podcast, that the experience is only making him better.
So much happened in my life the last 6 months that never would have happened had I been healthy. I wish things had been different for myself, for the organization, for our fans, for so many players that I love playing with. But I'm also very grateful for the many lessons and the, once again, the ego death and the phoenix rising from the ashes, a better version of myself.
Oh, the phoenix rising from the ashes.
It feels like he's going to have camera people following him around for a documentary. Mm-hmm.
Well, we had Tom versus Tom. Why can't we have Aaron versus Darkness?
You're trying to think of something? Because Tom versus Time is like alliteration. It just works.
Yeah.
Aaron versus...
You got to use Rodgers.
Rodgers versus...
Rust.
Rodgers versus Rust? Rodgers versus retirement might be the better R word to use there. But I don't know. What would you use? What would be the title? If there's Tom versus Time, it just feels like he's setting up. The ego death thing sounds like a title that he's working with. Right? That's ego death. Definitely sounds like a title.
Yeah.
In a world.
Rodgers versus jet lag. No. That'll work. Oh. Oh, no.
Rodgers versus dude wipes.
Aaron versus turbulence or something. I don't know.
Oh, I see. The whole jet thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just,
when are they supposed to show the new uniforms?
They didn't?
I thought they were supposed to reveal it like the 15th of April.
I thought the idea was they were going back to the jet
but
stuff
they
from
haven't,
the
90s. They haven't revealed it. I mean, I think they're supposed to show it the 15th.
I still think black should be the primary color and green should be the secondary color.
There's no reason
for it to be green anymore, and why not just change the karma?
I like them old school ones, man.
Well, the 80s ones were cool.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to have a tweak to them, though.
Oh, you think so?
It's going to be in that vein. Yeah, I think so.
All right. How about this from Rodgers? You know, it had to come up, and I'm glad at least it did. Remember that day when everybody freaked out because RFK Jr. had him on a list of vice president candidates that he was considering for his independent run at the presidency, and for some reason the media just took it and ran with it and gave all kinds of free publicity to something that was never going to happen. Yeah. But still, Rodgers discussed the idea that he was being considered for this.
That's what I feel like Bobby can give us, is that hope that life can be different. And just the fact that I was mentioned, you know, I'm sure people were like, oh, he has no, you know, political experience. How's that worked out so far? How's that worked out in our government? All these bums who've been in government forever, who are insider trading like crazy, lining their pockets during their terms and post-career. How's that working out?
Well, the other guy that was the guy that wasn't doing the Trump, how'd that work out? Because he was an outsider.
It's interesting. I mean, and Bobby said, I don't agree with a lot of stuff that Bobby believes in. But yeah, I
conspiracy
can't
theories,
argue.
He don't believe in science, yeah. So maybe that's the connection.
I know. I'm not trying to take sides here. But when you just take just the context of what Rodgers is saying, it's hard to disagree, right? It's hard to disagree.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know
where he's going with it, and I don't want, like, I'm not doing the InfoWars thing, but the fact that what he says, though, I think a lot of people do feel that way, is career politicians, where are we with them?
But
they've
always said that.
How's this city after some of the people we've had here recently?
But they've always said that, and then what happens is, even when the insider comes in, he becomes a career politician immediately, right?
Yeah.
Like, how did that work out? Jesse the Body Ventura, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ray
at
my
one
ear.
Point, Ronald Reagan was an outsider. He was an actor.
Ray. I'll tell you on the air, he was going to be with a Kennedy. What's he talking about?
Talking about career politicians.
Right.
They were once a royal family. The problem is, though, is he's
insider
not really,
trading and stuff. I mean, let's look into the Kennedy family.
But they had thrown him out of the family years ago. You know that, right? Like, yeah. He was
right.
Really,
you know how bad you got to be to get thrown out of that family?
And would he be running for anything if his name wasn't Kennedy? Why didn't he change it if he was such an outcast?
Well, of course. Huh. Of course.
All right, then.
I mean, you got to, well, by the way, again, use the brand name and then use a brand name to get you free publicity. Let me see. Who could be a good vice president candidate? Let me give you some names of people that no one knows, and then I'll say, Aaron Rodgers. And of course, because now all of ESPN and all the different, you know, sports conglomerates will come together, and they're going to now talk about this, and people are going to go, who's that guy? And then they're going to Google it, and I'm going to get all this free attention. That's it. Wag the dog, baby. That's what it's about. But he had that to say, so clearly he loved it, right? Like, he didn't sound like he was like, no.
I was so flattered.
He was all about it. Clearly he's all about it. So maybe not this year, but coming to a presidential campaign near you.
Nah, Kennedy, once they go, if he do run and try and take votes away from Biden, which, you know, could give Trump a better chance of getting into office – then, you know,
would that take away votes from?
Yeah,
it would probably take from both.
It's gonna take independents.
Well, yeah, but I honestly, I don't know if it leans one way or another. I think it's kind, completely
it's kind,
off
it's,
the.
It's kind of like when Trump had Kanye running, thinking he was going to take some of the black votes. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not smart enough to talk about this on any type of.
I mean, it can get crazy because what I'm saying is I don't think Kennedy would be around for a rerun after this one.
No, I don't mean that. I just mean in any other capacity. But
he can be governor. He can be governor of like Jesse, Los Angeles.
Oh, that's right. Jesse Ventura was another one of the vice president.
Oh, he was?
Yes,
coming
he was.
Back?
He was another. No, he was another one that RFK had on his list.
Oh, wow, because he ran Minnesota.
Like the only one missing was like John Bon Jovi. You know, like just trying to find random names of people that you've heard of that would make you react. You
Jesse's interesting.
Aaron Rodgers,
you know,
Jesse Ventura, and I don't know. How about Billy Joel?
Ain't Jesse about 100 now? If you want to get the black vote, you got to go Terry Crews. No, they don't like him.
No.
They go with Wayne Brady.
How about OJ? No, never mind.
Wayne Brady.
Now, where is this Woody Johnson from?
Oh, Dave Chappelle. Jake?
Where's the Woody Johnson
that's
here about?
The old Woody Johnson that we've played before.
Oh, okay. This isn't new then.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So I thought that might have been a new comment from him because originally he's saying the plan is to trade him. And then he said, if we can't trade him, well, we can always just keep him. And then shortly after that is when a reported argument between him and Robert Saleh happened that apparently then never happened. So, but he's still a Jet for now. See where it goes. Audio Files is coming up next, where Bart will hear one of Detroit's beloved athletes has
Cancel.
A problem
Cancel.
With Detroit.
Cancel.
That
Cancel.
And certainly more. Cancel. Bet on the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel every Thursday with TNT Thursdays. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your same-game parlay doesn't win on any NBA on TNT game. NBA same game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score a bigger payday. Tonight, the Knicks and the Celtics in Boston. Boston has already locked up the top seed in the East, right? We've already seen them mess around with who they're going to play and all that stuff. The Knicks still need the game. They did clinch, but they still are trying to get the third or even second seed in the East. So they're going to play all their guys. Boston has a handful of people on the injury list right now. Do they play maybe half of them? It's going to have an impact on this game, won't it? So be careful with whatever you decide to do parlay-wise. However you want to play, just head to FanDuel.com/Allen to bet on the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay with TNT Thursdays. That's FanDuel.com/Allen. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and older, physically present in New York. Minimum 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So, will the Giants take a quarterback in the first round of the draft, or will they draft a quarterback somewhere else in the NFL draft in 2 weeks? Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, guys were talking with Mel Kiper Jr. and asked him, are the Giants going to take a quarterback somewhere?
It seems like it. Personally, I get it. I like Daniel Jones. And I always have. You guys know that. You got to give guys some help. That's why I always said taking a quarterback at 6, well, you're hanging Daniel Jones out to dry. You're basically doing what the New England Patriots did to Mac Jones. I guess the Joneses just can't do very good here. They did it with David Carr in Houston. You can't forget about your quarterback, guys. They're not Superman. So these teams want to blame the quarterback and cut the quarterback, move on from the quarterback. Everybody wants to rip the quarterback. Quarterbacks can only be as good as the players around them. So if you're going to put an offensive line that can't protect, they're all lay blocking, you can't let the big time receiver. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2018. They haven't had any pass plays, explosive pass plays since Daniel Jones came in. Why? Because they don't have any receivers that can be explosive. So that's why I gave them the most explosive receiver in this draft, which is Malik Nabers.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776 for the calls. A lot of headlines today. But right now, of course, as you know, Bart, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio Files.
Did you really take a bite of something right before I set you up for that?
Audio Files.
You did, didn't you?
Are we surprised?
Audio Files.
I mean, you know, like as I'm saying it, time for us to step aside. And then I watched you take a bite.
No, did you hear anything?
No, I saw you do it.
Right, so you saw me, but I
knew. I'm setting you up. I can't stop. Once I say time for us to step aside, I can't just like start ad-libbing.
Man, it's a bite of Inga's muffin. I put it to the side of my cheeks like a chipmunk.
All right, raise your hand if you could tell Bart was eating. Ray?
Hand is in the air. Not only that, but we just came back from a four-minute break.
4 minutes of time to take a bite out of the English muffin.
Well, that's how long it took me to put the butter in and make sure I burned the bread. Took 3.5 minutes.
Well, this is why we step aside and let other people talk. So Bart can have his lunch right now.
Audio Bob.
So we begin. The Knicks tonight against the Celtics. The Knicks did clinch a playoff berth, by the way, with the Heat loss last night. So they have clinched the top six. Still looking to do better than that. More on that later on in the show, but each week, the Roommates podcast with Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson. And here's Josh Hart talking with their guest this week. Last week was Chad Ochocinco. So your boy, that's your guy, right, Bart?
They got his number, but I don't got his number.
Well, he said he was going to come on with us. He said, tell Bart to reach out. I'll come on anytime. I said, okay. So you don't have his number?
Nah, man. Right.
Well, he's always at the Garden, so I'll get his number.
Okay, thank you.
Anyways. They're discussing pregame meals. And remember, Josh Hart is now gone to, well, vegan or just plant-based is his diet. That's He's been raving about it. So take a listen to this.
I'm like, yeah, I'm tired, bro. He was like, what you eat today? I'm like, grilled chicken, rice, you know, some healthy stuff. He's like, that's your problem. Go to McDonald's, get you some McDonald's, take you half a Viagra before the game.
And you're good.
And you're good.
That's why he was tired.
Now, the McDonald's part is one thing. The half a Viagra thing now makes me think of all the stuff that you kept suggesting about
the
benefits of Viagra to athletes.
Yeah, man, like long distance runners all the time. They believe they take because it opens. It's like nitric oxide. You know what I mean, opens up the veins, so it allows blood flow. People just assume that, you know, blood flow is just to your wink wink. It ain't just to your wink wink. It's through your whole body. It's blood circulation.
Right.
Where the blood dope?
So Does that only work like so? Is that so for cardio? Like that helps you?
Yeah, cardio, endurance.
Your blood has more oxygen in it. Like it's basically,
Your blood carries oxygen. So if you got more blood flow, more oxygen in your blood, so more time to recover.
So if somebody like just I don't know, just throwing it out there, like maybe needed energy for a certain national show, and like one morning just took a half Viagra and then went on Get Up.
Yeah, you got two.
That wouldn't help.
Yeah, you got two choices. Well, you're not doing anything where you're getting your blood flow. Like you're not running, you're not circulating your blood flow unless you're going to be sitting up there.
I always feel
drunk.
Like my heart races because I'm on national television. I'm talking, so I'm passionate about what I'm talking about.
Well, you got one or two options. You can either go with Viagra, or you can go with some cocaine.
Woo! Right, one's legal, one's not. on a more serious note, what's illegal is for NBA players to be involved in any type of betting. And Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, it's Jordae, right? Jordae Porter? It's Jontae Porter, right.
Oh, my God, Jontae.
Yeah. He, as you know, got involved in this whole thing with the Raptors, where he was purposely taking himself out of games. People he knew were betting on the under for him, and he was helping them win tons of money. And Adam Silver had to address this topic, and it sounds like Porter is going to face a potential lifetime ban.
I have enormous range of discipline available to me, but it's cardinal sin that what he's accused of in the NBA, and the ultimate extreme option I have is to ban him from the game. That's the level of authority I have here, because there's nothing more serious, you know, around this league when it comes to gambling and betting on our games, and that is a direct player involvement. And so the investigation is ongoing, but the consequences could be very severe.
Bart, if they find enough evidence that he was involved in doing this, then I mean, and by the way, like they have him on social media, like talking to people and reacting, like answering people. So if this is all him and they can find it, they will. They can trace it all back to him. If there is a paper trail, obviously it's not paper, but what I mean.
Yeah, it's going to come to his devices.
Don't you think they should ban him? They should ban him. You know, you got to set the example. You have to go to the extreme. First of all, it's not like he's a superstar.
That's what I said.
So it doesn't
matter. That's what I'm saying.
But it does matter because you want to set that. All right, this is the standard.
Yeah. It's like you rather be a player like him than a good player like Pete Rose. You rather be Pete Rose did it when he was a coach, but you hope that it's a bad player, because now if it's a bad player, you can make that example and it's a lot easier for you to digest. Like even if they didn't ban him lifetime, if he's accused of this and he gets a year ban, he'll never play in the NFL in the NBA again anyway, because nobody ever touched him because he's not worth the headache.
That's the other part of it, is not like he's a great player who's on a two-way contract. I still find it amazing that you could bet on a player who's on a two-way contract. and more betting news, I thought Michael Kay was great the other day listening to the show when he was talking about how he had a caller that brought it up about how, like, the Ohtani stuff. He's hitting home runs, starting off the season, he looks great, and then all of a sudden we're not talking about the betting scandal involving his interpreter. And then all of a sudden it comes out that right after that the interpreter now is the possibility through this investigation he might have actually stolen more money than Ohtani even knew, beyond the $4 million that was already reported.
Damn, how many accounts this dude got?
Yeah, no, it's not great. But still, there's so much concern that Ohtani had any kind of knowledge or any kind of involvement in it for baseball. So here's Buster Olney from Get Up yesterday involving the Ohtani investigation that is ongoing.
In talking with sources in Major League Baseball, they are hoping that their investigation in this matter is going to be done sooner rather than later if this plea bargain goes through. Because you know, if in fact a plea bargain is reached, if that case is resolved, then Major League Baseball will do what it's done in the past in steroid investigations and domestic violence investigations. They will go and talk to the principals involved. They're going to want to talk to the interpreter. They're going to want to talk to Ohtani. And look, it goes without saying that they want this resolved as quickly as possible, because there's no bigger star in this sport than Shohei Ohtani.
It's amazing, Bart, too, because they're investigating something and they're searching for something they hope they don't find. It's basically it, right?
Yeah.
They're looking for evidence they don't want to find.
Now, what they find is something with Ohtani, then what do they do?
I know.
They ain't going to ban him for life.
Right.
Going to give him a 2-week gambling sensitivity training.
Give him a stern talking to.
It wasn't on baseball, so we're not going to do it for life.
Meanwhile, in baseball, there's so many other things going on, which includes a litany of concerns about the sport. The elbows blowing up on some of these pitchers. The uniform that doesn't seem to fit right or you sweat through right away. I mean, obviously the Ohtani stuff. There's so much going on that all it sometimes takes is the littlest thing to set off somebody about the sport. Over the weekend, now Wayne Randazzo used to do Met games here in New York. He was part of the Mets radio broadcast. He's very good. And he got his great opportunity with the Anaheim Angels as their main. Is it Anaheim, LA? I keep changing it. As their play-by-play voice now. So something happened with them involving Nolan Chanuel, who had an on-base streak, 36 straight games that he's played, goes back to last season. But then Randazzo finds out that the league went back and made a scoring change, took away the hit, and so now his streak no longer exists. Mm. Here's Randazzo, though, when he gets this news, it just leads to all kinds of rants.
Negative story after negative story, scandal after scandal, a fiasco in Oakland. You have these ridiculous-looking jerseys. You have the MLBPA challenging the league about the pitch clock today because of constant pitcher injuries. And yet, not to mention your global superstar is embroiled in a betting scandal. But on top of all of that, you have a young player trying to make a name for himself who has come up and reach base safely in every single game that he has played. And the league allows this scoring change to go on to end his streak, kill this story, a positive story that's happening in Major League Baseball. It is an absurdity.
An absurdity.
Yeah. Right. Why mess up the streak, man? We're trying to deflect here, man. What are you doing?
Well, think about it. They go back to a game where they found, they decided, no, what happened was an error. It wasn't, he did not reach with a base hit. And so, therefore, it's not considered a hit, so that streak ends.
Come on, man. They could have kept this good story going, man. It kind of deflect.
Now, Ray, you looked up his numbers. Chanuel, what's he hitting on the season?
That's a 0.65. He has two hits on the season.
Oh, man.
He had a streak going. That would have been 230.
For Randazzo, this wasn't about the player. This wasn't even about the streak. This was about how, hey, this is a pretty cool thing. And the league went back and combed through everything and went, let's take that hit away. Like, all this stuff that's going on, this is one nice little thing. You take this away, too. So it was less about the player. It was less about the streak. It was more about all this crap going on in the sport, and you're going to take away the one thing that's kind of nice. So there's that. All right, Bart, let's get to it. Detroit on Detroit crime. Did you hear this from Jared Goff?
He's not a Detroiter. No.
Well, nobody. I'm sorry. Are the Lions all of a sudden beloved again in Detroit because playing quarterback for the Detroit Lions?
Okay, go ahead. You can go ahead. He's from California, but it's okay.
Well, but this is really less about Detroit people and more about the media.
I have this, I probably need to drop it pretty soon here because I'm going to hopefully be in Detroit for a long time. But I have this thing with our local media where, they almost, relish in negativity at times. And maybe that's what gets clicks and that's what sells. But it's no longer what they need to live in. Hey, guys, we have a good team. We've had success. We can be happy about that. We can celebrate that and not have to write about how, we're constantly the underdog. No, teams are going to be gunning for us now. We won the division and all that. And I'm probably overthinking it in my head just because it's the chip on my shoulder and the competitor in me.
Sounds a lot like you, Bart. Remember, we were talking about this the other day, and you couldn't understand when I keep telling you how the Jet thing, it's the only deodorant is winning. And that's what you need. You got to win to get rid of all this stuff about mocking the Jets and laughing at the Jets and all that. Jared Goff's going through it with Detroit, with the Lions. He's like, what do you mean? We're a good team now. You stop treating us like we're that hapless 0-16 team from a couple of years ago. That's not who we are.
Everybody's looking at Green Bay and what they did. And, they got, like you said, they got scar tissue there. But every media is negative like that, though, every team. I mean, when I was with the Ravens, we had a guy, Mike Preston, people couldn't stand. And, you know, Ravens, one of the most successful places. You know, organization's always competitive, and he will always write negative stories about us. He still calls me, by the way, Mike Preston.
He still calls you, so not yeah. that negative.
He writes for the Baltimore Sun.
Okay. So it can't be that negative.
Yeah, he was. Super negative. People, like, he always had bad stories, but he respected me because I was a cool goblin.
But you understand, like, I was trying to explain it to you, and you could hear Jared Goff also exasperated by this as well. It's like, hey, we had a good year, and everybody there is like, that's nice. That's one good year versus 30 bad ones. They hadn't, right? Well, was that like the first home playoff? Was that 92?
Yeah, since 92.
I mean, come on, man. Like, so you understand.
Right. See, I understand why they can be that way, but the Jets shouldn't be like that because they won in 2010. They hadn't won since 92. That was 30 years.
Name the franchise that has the longest playoff drought in North American sports.
Name the franchise that has Aaron Rodgers.
I didn't ask you that. I did not ask you that. I asked you the drought.
I get it. It's the Jets. Real thing. It's the Jets.
Yeah. It's the Jets. That's the best way to describe it. Just like it's the Lions.
But they just got there.
Yeah.
It ain't like they've been there. They just got there, being the longest streak. They just got there. Give them some time.
All right. That is Audio Files, 800-919-3776.
By the way, speaking of getting off the fast starts, Mets up 3-0. Just so you know. Oh, 5-0. Oh, 5-0. Did Nemo hit one?
7-11. It's actually 7 now. 7-0.
It's now 7.
Ah, we call it.
I was trying to figure out if Bart was just.
No, they ain't updated on the ticker. They call it Nim Soto.
I thought you
Nimso.
Were...
Who needs Soto when we got Nemo?
Nemo. I don't think anybody says that. Has anybody said?
Maybe Nemoto? Maybe something?
Nemoto.
Is it Nemoto? Soto?
Nemoto.
Minnesota, something he said? I don't know.
Yeah.
Nemoto.
I don't think anybody said Nimsoto.
Yankee. Hey, the Mets are back in the Soto
DJ
run.
Stewart going yard again. How about that? Impressive.
The Mets are in the Soto. Soto, you want to come over here with the winners? Don't worry, baby. We always finish strong.
This New York City. It's a Giants hometown.
Shut up. Jerk.
4-7, Bart's already got his chest out.
No, but it's who they beating, though. Anybody can beat the Marlins.
Okay. How about the Astros?
They play. Okay, that's one team. Like, what
okay,
I'm saying
how about the Diamondbacks?
Okay. Okay. So if we beat
how about the
Tigers.
The Blue Jays?
We beat the Tigers. You lost one. We beat the Tigers. We beat Cincinnati. You know what I'm saying? And we about to beat the Braves.
I was just about to ask, who is we?
What number
it's
do
French.
You wear?
It's French, son.
Yeah, it better be French.
It's French. Probably. Say, y'all know a Mets fan. Quit playing, son.
Do you have
playing,
a number 57 Bart Scott Mets jersey that I don't know about?
I got a Dom Smith jersey.
I know you do.
And I got a Island. Remember the pitching coach? He signed it for
Dave
me.
Dave Island.
I got
yes.
a Dave Island jersey, son.
You're very proud of the Dave Island signed jersey.
You got a Dave Island
signed jersey, right? That's what we're talking about here.
Dave Island, B. And listen,
what?
And Don Smith know who I am.
He does.
You know what I'm saying?
Trying to find it, but it's my guy. I couldn't find the fast.
It's my guy. Bring him home, man. You need a bat. Bring my guy home.
What's up, Mark? Dom Smith here.
Yeah, bring my guy back.
Why does he sound like Darius Rucker?
Well, you know he got that list.
Is he in the majors? Because last time I remember,
he's with Washington last year.
Mm. Okay, 7-0 Mets, top of the third in Atlanta. So that's again very impressive.
So if they take the series from the Mets, you gonna give them some respect? I mean, for the Braves, you gonna give them some respect, son? Because I would argue them beating the Braves is greater than the Yankees taking a series from Toronto, damn, and from the Astros, who ain't what we thought they were so far.
They're
you
not.
Talk about strength of opponent. You know what I'm saying? Tigers, and Braves could be greater than anybody the Yankees face so far. B.
How much research have you put into that?
Just saying, B.
Have you put a lot of research into that?
I did it right now.
I don't know.
Off the top, son. Straight off the top.
We'll
no
get
computer.
Back to your calls.
No computer. No hard evidence.
In the Power Hour,
just
we'll get
a feeling.
Into
what a feeling.
Situation tonight and what they can accomplish this season and more. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Time to set it straight, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no half-stepping. Word. I'm ready. Rapper stepping to me. They want to get some. But I'm the Kane, so yo, you know the outcome. Another victory. They can't get with me. Come on, Bart. History.
I tell you what. You got Caitlyn Jenner saying good riddance to O.J. Simpson. What a class act with that.
Oh, that's the next social media stuff? Yeah, I see
Caitlyn Jenner talking about get good riddance to O.J. Now, if somebody, you know, all right, see, he's such an easy target with what he is. And how,
yeah,
I like,
know.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what if somebody come at him like that?
It's the whole thing about memories, right? That's what we were saying before. Can you separate what you enjoyed about somebody that became notorious? There's a lot going on with that family, huh?
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there. Too much for me to process. But this is something we can process.
Oh, yeah. Didn't Caitlyn kill somebody in a car accident?
Huh? I don't know. Google that. In the meantime, Jeff Passan and Alden Gonzalez reporting this. So, Ipe Mizuhara, who was the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani, been charged with bank fraud after it was discovered he transferred more than, get this, $16 million from Ohtani's account to an alleged illegal sports book. This is what federal authorities have just announced about a half hour ago in L.A. court.
You gotta love, man.
Stealing more than $16 million. Dollars. If now, remember, it was 4.5, and we thought that was a lot.
How the hell can Ohtani's people, man? He need to fire.
How
everybody.
Do you not see $16 million just boop gone?
Like, come on, man.
No, nothing.
Yo,
you got to really trust somebody,
or you got to not check your bank statements ever.
Well, no, there was. I guess there was some talk about how Mizuhara had all this because he was handling his money. Paying
but
for stuff and all, and he
never
changed. He
your
took
own
alert.
Money?
No, he took the alerts away. He closed all the alerts. He did all these things because he had access to the accounts. So Ohtani never saw an alert.
So Ohtani never bought nothing himself.
That's Ohtani, weird. Isn't it?
Ohtani never
but
like
wait, Bart,
checked
do
his
you? But do you check your bank account or do you just
it come,
pick
it
your
come
card
every
card
month?
And go.
You get a whole envelope that comes. You get a whole statement that comes to you every month. It's on your phone. Why wouldn't he have his stuff on the phone? My stuff's on my phone.
Yeah, but he trusted him, just didn't bother.
$16 million, bro.
That's a lot of money.
Like, where's your account? Your account when it was tax season, they say, hey man, like they do a monthly spend thing.
Tell you what.
If you got a financial advisor, they do a monthly spend. Like, this is what you spent this percentage on clothing, food.
Right.
Come on, son. $16 million.
It's a good thing they caught him now. Can you imagine with this new contract?
Yo. Yo, like if I'm Ohtani, I'm going from the fact like, nah, man, we're gonna deport him. And we gonna put him in jail in what's his face, where they cut your fingers off for stealing.
Mizuhara could you consider that this new contract that Ohtani signed with the Dodgers, a lot of it is, right, it's deferred.
Yeah.
Think about the loan that Mizuhara could have secured off of that contract.
Man, if you'd have booked, just man, put if he'd have booked, you made all your money straight off from him, one client.
I know, right? It's just hard to believe that something like that, that's a $16 million. Is a great deal of money to just disappear and not really pay any attention to it.
Nah, yeah. See, $4 million, I was pissed. We're going to figure it out.
By the way, you suck at gambling if you've lost that much money.
Yeah. In that short period of time.
Yeah. All right. Power Hour's coming up next. Lots to get to. You can react to this, of course. And Bart will give us updates on the Mets and Braves. Hopefully updated.
It's five. It's seven.
And
it's seven,
the Knicks clinch a playoff berth. Who do you not want to see in the first round? Who should they be playing for when it comes to seedings? All that and more in the Power Hour next. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So the Yankees unable to pull off the sweep against the Marlins as their offense just not able to cash in on countless opportunities late. And Marcus Stroman had just one bad inning. Four runs given up in the third. So Aaron Boone, what did you see?
Just thought like he had a hard time getting real good in his delivery. And I thought he actually got it kind of rectified a little bit there in the fourth and the fifth. I thought kind of settled in. But first three innings for him, just having a little, probably just a little out of rhythm. And, you know, didn't have, I think, that great feel that he's had with all his pitches. Stuff was good. You know, was getting a lot of swing and miss. And then I thought settled in to get us through the middle innings there, to get us through five. But just a little struggle there, I think, getting in rhythm early.
That is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.